But as you're finding your seats, again, just want to welcome Craig back to our church. He's been here now several times. He's a good friend and somebody I served with previously down at Coral Ridge Church. He's the director of men's ministry down there. And I've said before that we as pastors need to be filled up ourselves and preach to ourselves, and we need rest as much as anybody. So I'm always grateful when God brings men to us who can preach to me as much as he's preaching to you all, and I know he's preaching to himself as well. That's all a part of it. So again, thanks to Craig for serving again this morning. So please welcome Craig.
Well, thank you, church. What a blessing it is to be able to be here. I don't know if you guys realize how really blessed you are. I mean, when Adam, reads the call to worship or does a prayer, it's a mini sermon in itself. I mean, you're not getting just the one sermon, but you're getting like three sermons. You are leaving so filled. But I just really am blessed to be able to be here, to be back here again. Last time I was here, I had you guys put your shoes on, right? Remember, we were running a race, the race of faith. And today, I'm not going to really have you put your shoes on. I'm going to have you more stand. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. We're going to be talking about something that is so important for every Christian, because every Christian every day is in a battle. We may not realize it. We may not want to be in it, but we're in a battle. Now, something about myself is I love playing games. I don't mean like playing games like on people or something. Some of you guys are like that. But I mean like playing games as far as board games, strategy games. And I don't think that, you know, there's even more than a game of strategy than the game of chess, right? In the game of chess, you're thinking not only of your move, but you're thinking what the other person is going to do. But not only what the other person's going to do, but you're thinking like, okay, if I move here, he's going to move there, and then I'm going to move here, and he's going to move there, and that's why it can go on for a long time. But in chess, there's actually a move called fool's mate. And in fool's mate, it's really interesting because this is the quickest move ever in chess. Depending upon if you're the white or the black, you could checkmate someone in two moves or three moves. It's called fool's mate because the person that opens up makes such a move so stupid, they're a fool. And so now you're able to go and make another move. And now you're thinking like, now when I make this move, they're going to have to counter this way, and then it's checkmate. Well, what I want to talk about this morning, and what I want to teach you guys about this morning, is not only the battle that we're in, not only how we can defend ourselves, but how we can stand in offense and we can checkmate our opponent in one move. So let me go ahead and just read the word of God. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 19, hear the word of God. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your waist girded with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet fitted or shodded with the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, in which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit always with all kinds of prayer and supplication. To that end, be alert with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray for me that the power to speak may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Go with me in the word as we pray. Oh God, we come to you this morning. And Father, as we sang the goodness of God, Father, you are a good, good God. But Father, sometimes in our life, there's things that happen that we believe a lie. We look at the circumstances and we say, God, if you were, where are you? Right now in the midst of the storm. Father, we're so thankful that we were spared. But Father, there's those in North Carolina. There's those in Tampa. There's those all throughout the state that, Father, they weren't spared. And I'm sure that in the darkness of night, in the lowliness of times, they're thinking, where were you, God? But Father, through it all, we're called to give you thanks in all things. And for that reason, God, we have to live by faith to know that you are a good, good God, and you work all things out for the good that are called according to your purpose. Father, just fill our lives focusing on the one who says to the storms of life, be still, and not listen to the sighs of the waves and be taken off guard. Because, Father, you are a good, good God. Father, I pray this morning that as we listen to the word, that, Father, it's not just something that we take notes, but that also that it's written down on our hearts, that we hear with our ears, and that we do, Father, and that other people would see a difference in our life, and that difference, God, points to you. So now, Father, we pray that you be glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, there's a philosopher, Sun Tzu, and Sun Tzu says this: if you know the enemy and know yourself, you will not need to fear the result of 100 battles. But if you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. And then he says, if you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. When it comes to the spiritual attack we're under, I want us to help us know our enemy and know how to checkmate our opponent in the shortest number of moves. So for you note takers this morning, we're going to talk about four different parts in the sermon. And I made it very simple. It's the letter P. The first part is called the position. The second part is called the power. The third part of the sermon is going to be the promise, and the fourth part is the purpose of it all. So before we get into the sermon, I wanted to just talk about as far as the book of Ephesians, and all throughout the letter to the Ephesians, Paul gives three positions, three postures that we as Christians and the people of Ephesus are to take. In Ephesians 1, he talks about the seated, right? We're seated at the hand of God, where Christ is. This is our eternal position, victoriously enthroned in the heavenlies at the right hand of God in Christ. And then six times in Ephesians 4 through 5, Paul shifts from seated to the indicative. The indicative is what has been done for us in Christ. What God has already done for us, now this is our response, the imperative of what we are to do. And what we are to do in Ephesians 4 through 5 is we should walk, right? We should walk. We should walk worthy of our calling. We should walk in a way that others see Christ in us. But now in Ephesians 6, Paul exhorts the Ephesians and us this morning here to stand. He talks about standing. Now, I don't want you to miss this. These three positions, these three postures are not interchangeable. We don't move from seated to standing or from walking to standing. Like in Proverbs 1. In Proverbs 1, it's a progression, right? It says, don't sit as far as to walk with the ungodly or stand with the sinners or sit or take residence with the scornful. Right, it's a progression. You first are standing, and then you're walking, and then you're sitting. No, we are to be engaged in all three postures all the time. Constantly seated in our position in Christ. Constantly walking in Christ and doing as the Spirit leads, but then also standing. Now, how are we able to do these three positions together is they're not physical positions, they're spiritual positions. And for you women that don't think that men can multitask, we can do three things all at once. Now, the first part of our sermon this morning is the position. when we are not, or not if not, being ready for battle. In Luke 22, 31, Jesus says that Simon Peter, the enemy is trying to sift you out like wheat. He doesn't say he may be sifting you out. He says he is sifting you out. And we as Christians need to understand that it's not when we will be, it's not if we're going to be in battle. It's not if we're going to be attacked, but it's when we are attacked. This is what we're supposed to do. And what we're supposed to do in Ephesians 6 is it says stand. Now, I'm not going to get into this morning about the different armor to put on, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But what I really want to focus on right now is the standing part. Do you realize that Paul, in Ephesians 6:10 and Ephesians 6:13-14, uses the word stand four times? Now, church, when the writer is writing something multiple times, there's an important reason for that. He uses this one word stand four times. Why? Well, I don't know if you realize, but there's different ways of thinking about stand. I'm gonna take you back to your childhood, right? You're in school and the teacher is calling attendance and you don't want to be there and you're standing by and it's like, Craig Starley, here, I'm here. You're not really there, but you're standing, you're there, right? That's one way of thinking about it. Now, another way, you're having a family photo, and we could even talk about now. I know guys, husbands, when, you know, if you're like my sister, she wants to take pictures for everything. And there's sometimes I just don't want to be in the picture, but I'm standing there. I'm standing by, she's taking the picture and everything, but I don't want to be there. Then there's other times that people are having a conversation with you, and you're standing right there, but you're not listening. You're hearing what they're saying, but you're not really listening. Those are not the positions of stance that Paul is talking about. Those are not the positions of stance that you're to take when you're getting ready for battle. This position that they're talking about, if you're in the military, it is a stance of attention. If you're doing martial arts, is it a stance that when the sensei comes to go to push you, you cannot be moved? Why? Because you're standing on a firm foundation. You're standing. And what are we to stand on when we're to be in battle? We're to stand on the foundation of Christ and Christ alone. Our feet is firmly planted so you cannot be moved. If you are praying on the armor, but you are not standing properly, it's like having the sword in the sheath and not knowing how to take it out. All the armor is useless because it's on the wearer, but the wearer is not certain of what it can do. Now, I talked about the different ways that we could stand. Now, the different ways that we could stand. We could stand in faith. Faith that is Christ alone and not our own works that we can overcome our battles. We need to stand in confidence that no matter how high the waves, no matter how hot the fire, there is nothing that Christ has not defeated. We need to stand in assurance that you are his and he is yours. You are a child of the king, adopted into a royal family. You need to stand to understand that your salvation is safe and secure by the Holy Spirit. Yes, church, when you are standing firm, there are no words, no lies, no outside influences. Nothing can move you from the foundation, which is our firm foundation, and that is Jesus the Christ. Amen? So now the second part this morning is, where do we get this power to stand on this foundation? There's been sermons that I have heard. There's been sermons that you have heard. There's been teachings that you've listened to that talk about we're to put on the armor of God, right? For us in some way to do this on our own strength. I'm not joking. I used to believe that it's something that I can go to Walmart and ask, you know, someone in the aisle, like, where's the shield of faith? Where's the helmet of salvation? Oh, where do I buy the breastplate of righteousness? Right? Something that we can get for ourselves. Or if you were like me, you wake up in the morning and it's like, okay, I need to stand firm in the truth, and I need to put on the helmet of salvation that I'm saved in Christ, and I need to have the breastplate of righteousness that it's your righteousness. And if I don't have one of these pieces of armor on, that my whole day is going to be messed up, right? If that's the teachings that you've been listening to, if that's what you have believed, it's wrong. It's wrong. See, I want to go back to the part of knowing your enemy that I talked about and how to apply fool's mate, that quick checkmate, in the quickest way. Here's what happens. Satan makes a move against you. Fight of a spouse, right? You're fighting with your spouse. You lose your job. A child that's sick. Negative words that is said about you. A sin that you feel is too unforgivable. That's the attack that the enemy tries to put on you. Now your move, the killing blow, in one move, checkmate, is Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. That's what your move is when you are under attack. That's what you do. You stand then in offense, ready for the victory, not in defense, ready to retreat. Here's what I mean when I talk about the full armor of God is Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. The first thing, as I mentioned, is you cannot be in the battle if you are not standing firm in the truth. But this is how it looks like as Jesus is our armor. Jesus is the belt of truth, right? He's the truth that in Christ, I am a child of God, 1 John 3:1. That the truth that Christ has secured my salvation, 1 John 5:11 through 13. Jesus is the gospel of peace. The peace that I am saved and I am forgiven, John 6:39. The peace that no matter how chaotic my life gets, or the world appears to be, Christ is ruler over all, Mark 4:39. Jesus is your breastplate of righteousness. It is only in Christ and in his righteousness am I saved. And there is nothing that I still need to do or add to the finished work of Christ on the cross, John 19:30. Jesus, church, is the shield of faith. Faith to know that Christ has given me victory. And there's no sin that I can be tempted in doing that I don't have an advocate to help me overcome. Romans 8:31. He is the shield of faith to know that I don't have to understand the whys of what I'm dealing with, but just have the faith that God only wants what is best for me. Peter 1:6. Jesus is our helmet of salvation. There are thoughts that I can have in my mind that cannot be taken captive but by the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10:5. He is my salvation, and it is a done deal that cannot be changed. It cannot be taken away regardless of how big the sin I do. God's grace is even greater. Romans 5:20. That in Christ, no matter how bad things are getting here, that this life is just a mist, and I soon will be with God forever in eternity. John 3:16. Jesus, church, is our sword of the Spirit. There is no greater weapon than the truth that I have in Christ, that I am a child of God, that my salvation is set and secure, and that God's love for me is without condition. Ephesians 1:4 through 9. He is in Christ that I have the Holy Spirit that enables me to receive the words of God that are needed to deal with any attack that comes my way. Luke 12:11 and 12. And Jesus is the one, church, that we pray unto. In Christ's death, the veil was torn from top to bottom. We now have access into the Holy of Holies. We don't need a priest to advocate for us, to be our intermediate. We can go and we are covered by the blood of Christ. Matthew 27:51. And then you could speak in prayer directly to God to help you in any situation that you're in, for forgiveness, for protection, for confidence, for increased faith, all that is needed to defeat the attacks that come upon us. Yes, church, it is in Christ, in prayer, when we put on those truths, we have all that we need in him. There is nothing the enemy or his minions can do to us. So it's not as difficult as I need to put on this and I need to put on that and I need to do all that. No, it's just Christ, Christ and more Christ, for he is our spiritual armor. The third part this morning is, what is the promise that we get from this? There's a song called "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Many of you, I'm sure, know it. "In heavenly armies against us will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us shall stand. The battle belongs to the Lord." I want to take you to Exodus 17. And as we read here, exactly what is being talked about. See, this battle that's being spoken about was not just done at the cross, right? In Exodus 17, just a little bit of a backdrop, what happens here is the Amalekites are fighting against Israel. The Amalekites is Israel's sworn enemy. It's a kind of like our sworn enemy, our flesh. And Israel is those that are governed by God. That's what Israel means. So it's the people of Israel, or us, that we are governed by God. We're to be protected by God. Now, there's a battle that goes on where the Amalekites are fighting Israel. And it's not just a one-day thing. It's every day this sworn enemy is attacking on Israel. It's kind of like you get in the ring with Mike Tyson. And you're like, okay, you know what? I could take him maybe one time. And you're there and you get knocked out. And you wake up the next day and I'm like, man, I am so glad that I don't have to go through this again. But then it's Groundhog Day. It's like every day you have to get back in the fight with Mike Tyson. This is an everyday thing, over and over, right? And I'm sure that there's some of us here this morning that could relate to that. Maybe it's an addiction that you have that every day you're trying to battle. Maybe it's a struggle that you have that every day you're trying to battle, right? It's something over and over and over you're trying to battle and you're not able to fight and you're not able to win. Now, what's happening here is in Exodus 17, verses 10 through 13, Moses goes to a mountain and he's holding up this staff. He's holding up this banner, right? This staff. And why it's called a banner is on this staff, there's like a ball on top of it that when the sun would hit this ball, it would be a shining light and it would glimmer. And the people of Israel would see this as the presence of God is now here. And Moses' arms are growing tired. And what happens then is Aaron and Hur, right, lift up his arms as he's growing weary. And us men in the church, we need an Aaron and Hur to lift up our arms when we're growing weary, because we can't fight the battle ourselves, right? And so what happens here is, it says, "The Lord is my banner." The word for my banner is Jehovah Nissi. God is the one that will fight the battles for us. And when will he fight these battles? Well, read with me here in Genesis 17. It says, then in verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in the book and rehearse it to Joshua, for I will utterly wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Then Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah Nissi. For he said, for the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek, with your enemies, from generation to generation." God promises from generation to generation, not just your children, not just your grandchildren, but anyone that's in your family, in the future families, from generation to generation, God will and is their great defender. Our part, church, is just to have the faith. Faith that God's part is to be the keeper of his word, because God can never and has never lied. We know that he will do his part, but it's the part that we play. That's in question. When we're under attack, that's what's in question. Do we have enough faith to stand and believe in God will do the fighting for us? Or do we try to do it on our own? And that takes me to the final part of our sermon, the purpose. The purpose of all of this. What is the purpose of the message? There's a preacher that I listen to sometimes. I mean, you have to like really take it with a grain of salt with some of the things he says. But on 89.3, he's a Jewish believer called Lon Solomon. I don't know if you ever heard of him. But he has this sermon, that he calls So What? Right? What happens is he goes into this whole sermon, he expounds on everything, and then he says, okay, church, now we're at the best part of the sermon that you all want to get involved. What do we say, church? And they all say, so what? It's like, so what? You've told me all of this. You told me about Jesus is the armor and how I'm supposed to fight. But what does this mean to me? What is the purpose of all of this? The so what to the sermon. The so what is, we need to know who our enemy is, right? We need to know who we're fighting against. We need to know not only how to defend, but how to defeat our enemy. We need to know that you are not in this battle alone. And we need to be willing to take that step of faith, to take the correct stance, to stand firm on the foundation. Not that I'm here, I don't want to be here, and so the enemy comes, and you could have all the armor on, you could pray all of it on, but if you're not doing it correctly, the beginning part, the stance, you will be attacked, and you will lose. None of this could be done without having faith in the one who it is all about, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. So I would be remiss this morning to realize that there may even be one here this morning, or maybe one listening when it goes online, that has not placed your faith in Jesus. You've been dealing with battles and attacks from your past, dealing with battles in the present, but doing so in your own strength, and you are sick and tired of being defeated. You're here today, and you're tired of being knocked down, being told and reminded of things that you did, failures that you did, that you've done, having addictions or struggles that lead you into further despair. If that is you, if there is even one here right now that this is you, let's just put an end to this once and for all. It's as simple as opening your heart and allowing God to fight the battles for you and give you victory. But for all of us here who have placed our faith in Christ, may this be a message to encourage you that we can live in the words, O death, where is thy victory? O sin, where is thy sting? Our God, church, has defeated sin and death. And if God is for us, then who can ever be against us? Amen and amen. Go with me in prayer. Oh, Father God, the battle is not ours, but it's yours, saith the Lord. Father, you have defeated sin and death at the cross. Father, the enemy has been vanquished. But Father, there are those times in our life that we feel defeated, that we feel that the waves are too big, that the fire is too hot, that we're in over our head. And it's God, during those times, maybe we realize that you are El Roy, the God who sees, that you are sovereign, that you will not let anything happen to us, that you are not in control over. And so God, may we wake up every morning saying, Lord God, put more of Christ on me. May I be more like Christ. May I walk more like Christ. And in doing that, Father, we have all that we need for the battle that ensues. For the battle is not ours, but it's yours. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.